By someone's presence or what they'll think, and you're conscious only of Jesus. That's where you'll have to come, beloved. Every one of us will have to come there. It's this really that lies behind. The answer to somebody's question to me, even in this conference, this was the way it was said to me. I want that that is more than the baptism in the Spirit that you've got and are preaching. That's right. I want that something more.
Amen.
Simply because the baptism in the Spirit has been put down to get in power for service and speaking in another tongue. What a cheap. Baptism in the Spirit is engulfment in God.
Amen.
That's what it is. That's something more. That's what it is. If you've had an experience short of death, that's what you've been taught short of death. That's been your loss. Engulfment into God. Hallelujah. That's what it is. It's total release from the old self so that the new self can develop in its native atmosphere the love and holiness of God. That's what it is. You'll know it immediately. Can't help but know it. Somebody gave me a pamphlet. Other people write pamphlets. Lots of people do. Asked me to read it. Would I say what I thought about it? I opened the first page, and the spirit of the man came right through at me. Aggressive. On the first page. I knew immediately it wasn't the spirit of the Lamb. It's supposed to be a new revelation for the end time. You see, they keep coming up. They'll come. Men's aggressive spirits get hold of Bible ideas and present them. But they can only be presented from the spirit that's in the man. And they carry that spirit with them. Do you believe that? That's why you love to sing Wesley's hymns. They carry his spirit. And the Holy Spirit. That's why. Glory be to God. It's that. It's just that. It's that. It's a fragrance. It's a sensitivity. It's something that's intangible. Words can't contain it. They can convey it. What a marvelous thing it is. And don't you know everyone that's there? Hallelujah. That something more. That's where we've all got to come. Every one of us. God has spared you and given you time and opportunity for this. That's what it's all about. And if we want what has been prayed for this morning and how my heart has gone along with it all, I've heard the repetition, and these two people that were in the early Bradford days will bear me out. I've heard the repetition of the spirits of men and women that were there in those days.
Yeah.
There you are, Brother Merchant, sister.
Yeah.
Brother Hearn, same thing. And that for us was preparation for the outpouring that was coming.
Amen.
That's right.
Bless the Lord.
You must prepare your hearts to seek the Lord. Not by reading the right devotional literature or any of the man-made artifices, though they may be aids. But it's when we start leaning on aids, as the church did, for instance, aids to worship, until finally they made images for aids, helped them to visualize the Saviour on the tree, so they made a crucifix. And that's the way it goes. Once you start wanting aids, you don't need any aid. If you'd have been one of the early savages that lived in England and were evangelized by an Augustine, you wouldn't have had any of Madame Guyon's books to read. You wouldn't have had any of Watchman Nee or A.W. Tozer. Or they're all lovely men, now don't misunderstand me. But I'm telling you, God doesn't need any aids. He's strong enough. The only thing you need, I'm not saying don't read some of these lovely books, please. It may be we need to read them, I don't know. But I know that it comes from that sort of praying you've heard this morning. That shows that the blessed softening up of the ground is taking place. If you like, you can call it the former rain, if you must use this idea. But go on till you get the latter, if we must use that idea. Go on. People stop short. Keep going. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you criticisms from people. All sorts of things. Keep going. That's what I did. That's what we did. And you keep going for weeks and months. And you keep going for years. And it goes on and on and on. That must be the bedrock. Lose that, and the other will depart. Remove the flower, and soon the fragrance of the flower will depart from the room. It'll linger a while. Like remove nicotine, and soon the smell of smoke will go out of your clothes. After a while, it'll linger for a while. That's what happens. people are in are living in that which has lingered on. Oh God, make the flowers grow again. Amen. Men and women who will pay the price. Men and women who care. Men and women, and this is no construction or criticism, I'm taking up the scriptures use, who won't linger aesthetically, lovingly over the Good Samaritan parable, but will do it. That's it. This is the thing. To move in this glory and wonder. How can you tell people? I don't know how to tell people. We didn't come through telling people. We read about prayer, think about prayer, talk about prayer. But to pray, who does? Lord, an engagement with God. That's it. You see, nothing exotic about it. Nothing exotic about it. Nothing of the flush of big meetings. Nothing of that. You'll only ever find a handful that pray. You'll get 1,000, 10,000 at a meeting. You won't find 100 out of them that really pray. But prayer is their life. And they're more to be treasured than all the makers of bugles in the world. And that's the thing for us to understand. Hallelujah. Mold your life there. Nothing will happen except that. Nothing. You want the heavens to open? You want the voice of God to be heard? You want the Holy Ghost to be upon you? You do, don't you? Let me learn a lesson from Jesus. He comes to Jordan to be baptized. He comes for the express reason on his part to fulfill all righteousness. That's what he said to John. He didn't say, I've come for the anointing. I've come to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I've not come for the dove. I've not come for the voice. I've not come for open heavens. I've not come for anything exotic. I've come to fulfill all righteousness. God, give me a man that will help me to do it. One man. John Baptist. Two came into partnership. That's one. To fulfill all righteousness. One knowing full well, the other wondering. Amen. And they went down into the water. And Jesus was baptized in water. Baptism is good. It's useless unless it is to fulfill all righteousness. You understand that? Your first act of righteousness is to believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Hallelujah. And he went into the water, Jesus, and he came up. And Luke records it for us, and he was praying that I'd have the heavens open. The dove came down, the word came forth. Pray. The Bible shouted at us everywhere. You can't get it any different way from the way Jesus got it. That simply isn't possible. You can't get a new birth and a resurrection except by the way Jesus got it. Death. You can't get it any other way than Jesus got it. You must dismiss from your idea and your thinking and do it now and do it rigidly forevermore and never allow it to creep back into you. You must dismiss from your thinking that because Jesus did it on the cross, God hands it out like this, that and the other. See, this is the idea that people have got. There are some things that you get, and it didn't even cost Jesus the cross. You get sunshine, fresh air, clean water. You get all sorts of things that didn't require Jesus to go to the cross, you see. But there are some things that you cannot get unless you not only accept the gift of the objective you're aiming at, but the means whereby the objective is reached. I am the way, he said. You must accept the way to it as well as it. Some people think they can jump into it without the way. Jesus himself could not go to heaven. He couldn't enjoy the angelic bliss. He couldn't enjoy the glory for which his heart craved unless he went via his own death and resurrection. And that is given to you. If you will have it. Now that's where the tussle comes. We'd all have the glory. We'd all have the blessing. But who will have the way to it? And it wasn't blessing for himself, he thought. He said, if I don't fall into the ground and die, I'll just abide alone forever. And that's what will happen about all those people you pray for. If you don't fall into the ground and die, they've got to be fruit. Somebody's fruit they've got to be. Do you see there? It's written into nature. You must accept the way. It's a gift. You haven't got to agonize. You haven't got to struggle. You haven't got to take the punishment. You haven't got to take anything like that. But you've got to receive from the Lord, and so have I, this death and resurrection. You can accept the fruits of it. You can accept the blessings that have accrued from it. And God is so good that he hands them out in bounty. But who will take it? Who will go that way? Not with gloom. Not with pain. The only pain that you'll ever have is the pain that you suffer to your pride. That's all. and everything like that. Oh, look out. The way is hidden, and yet it's plain. It's the way of God. You've been destined to it. The cross is not yours. The grave is yours. Amen. Let's take our Bibles on the feet. Blessed Lord. Luke 12. I suppose the older I get, the less wide-ranging will be the themes and subjects that I preach on. You know, there are such men today that are called astronauts. They put them in a little capsule, they must be dangerous, and they sling them out into space. And they get up higher and higher and higher, and the earth and men on it get smaller and smaller and smaller. They take pictures of blue lights, pink lights, green lights. They show you photographs of the earth, and it's all so wonderful. But what good have they done man? And that's how some people are. They go up and up and up. They have a wide-ranging view, show you photographs and pictures from Genesis to Revelation. And they're marvelous. And can even see beyond what's written in the Revelation. I don't mean something new now. I mean beyond just the words. And they see into this glory of God's great new creation. Well, it's good. And just like you can buy National Geographic magazine and see the marvelous shots and snaps and colours, pull-outs, fold-outs, marvelous things, and all sit in a wonder and amaze. They even may bring you back some stardust. But it won't put food in your belly. And it won't put water in your mouth. You could say the man's a Philistine, I know. Or you can please yourself what you think. I say that I suppose as I get older, instead of taking the great astronomical looks, I'll get down and start understanding more about the little things around me. I think I will. I don't know, I'm not promising anything. But we're on a fundamental again, as we've been in these four occasions, when we've looked into the truth of the communion. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, familiar enough truth to us in this room too, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I can't do it. I put this in. I can't do it because I have
a baptism to be baptized with first, before I can do. And how am I straightened till it be accomplished? Amen. And this is the way. You see, the Lord Jesus couldn't do. He couldn't send revival, if you like, call it what you want. He couldn't send the fire, and you know the fire came down on the day of Pentecost, until he went through this baptism. I want to just link up something very simply written into the scripture. In that verse 50 you have a baptism. Now will you turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And in the 10th chapter of Mark you have this 38. Jesus is speaking and he says, "You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said, "We can." And I want you to see that the change has been made from the indefinite to the definite article. It was a baptism in Luke 12. It is the baptism in Mark 38. Luke. I'm sorry, yes, well, it is Luke, really. It's in Acts. Verse what? Chapter 1. Verse 5. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. A baptism, the baptism. Now we have the element or medium of the baptism. You shall be baptized. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Well, this is a glorious thing, isn't it? You see, this baptism didn't exist until Jesus Christ created it. It was a baptism. He had to create this baptism that he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with." He couldn't talk about it as the baptism. The only baptism they knew was in water. Well, now, that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? So he had to create the baptism and make it available for men to be baptized with it. Until he'd created it, he couldn't say, "You shall be baptized," just like they said. He said, you shall. Between the A, baptism, and "you shall be baptized," was the episode in Jesus' life where he created the baptism. It didn't exist until he created it. John Baptist did not create his baptism. The water was running in Jordan before he was ever born. John came to Jordan. People went to John. Even Jesus went to John. And they were baptized in water. And John was called the Baptist. nobody ever was called the Baptist except John. Jesus took on water baptism and became a Baptist. But John was still the Baptist. And the baptism that people knew was just water baptism. God removed John Baptist, removed him, left Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ moved on. And John had said of him, "He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire." Amen. So John is removed. And Jesus now has to create a baptism for people. He has to create it. The creation was a miracle. It included his death. Verily, while he was still alive, he couldn't baptize with it. For the baptism into which we are baptized was created by God the Son going on to the cross. And from the cross, dying voluntarily, creating something that God himself had never known before. For God had never died. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the Son of God. Of course, God had to become a man for it. Only the manhood of him could die. The Godhead of him overcame death. That is, the spirit of him was too strong for death, even as it was too strong for sin, and too strong for the devil, and too strong for torture, and too strong for all the things that had happened to him. Not that he'd been too strong to feel them all, but too strong to be overcome by them. Lord, you touch that baby and heal it. So, you know how that the manhood of him died could be a perfect sacrifice for sin, which demanded death, because it was a perfect humanity. And so he answered sin. He took all sin in his own body on the tree, and in its concentrated form he overcame it and took away the sin of the world. Very marvelous. And from that blessed offering, he plunged into death. He created the baptism. He created it in spirit. Hallelujah. He went down into death. His spirit was absolutely triumphant. He shouted, "I finished it." Well, he didn't say it that way. I've colloquialized it. He says, "It's finished. It's finished. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he just committed his spirit to his Father, because you see, now he had to go down into death, into the other regions. Down he went. he committed himself to his Father to be born on the earth. That Father would keep him when he was a little tiny seed in the Virgin's womb. And Father kept him by filling Mary with the Holy Ghost. And so in the Blessed Spirit he was formed and grew and lived. And he created in the Spirit a marvelous thing that God can only speak of as a baptism. His word. And he went down into the death, and he accomplished things in the unseen world to which the Bible only makes infrequent references, but nevertheless true and wonderful, in that God doesn't want us to think too deeply into nether regions. He wants us to ascend into the upper regions. He doesn't want us to think too deeply in the world of spirits. And if any of you young people have dabbled in the world of spirits in any way, whether under drugs or whether not under drugs, whether deceived, whether doing it for a joke, or whatever reason you did it, you should come and get yourself delivered. You are still under an influence of an evil spirit, unless your life has been absolutely cleared by Jesus. You understand this? Yeah. This is the tremendous thing. I want to tell you that the world of spirit is stronger than the world of flesh. You will have existence perhaps for 60, 70 years in the world of flesh, and then you pass out into the world of spirit. And the Spirit of God has reached through into this flesh, and so has the spirit of the devil. Men usually sell themselves out to the devil before they're ever aware of God's love. But Jesus went down into that realm, and this is why you can be delivered. He went down and paraded his victory. He showed forth his death to the nether regions. Now it's the church's business to show forth that death till he come. That's connected with the communion. He went down and displayed his victory. He led forth a multitude of captives, and he ascended to heaven. And the glory of it all, when he rose from that third day, was that he had established the baptism. What had been a baptism now has become the baptism. But it couldn't be made available to men until it came in the Holy Ghost. It was in Jesus first. And until he went to the cross, the Holy Ghost couldn't handle it and make it available for men. Simple, isn't it? That's why he kept saying, I must go away. If I don't go, the Comforter won't come. And that's why you cannot get anywhere with God if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because that's where all your life lays. That's where it all is. Everything's in the Spirit. If a man blasphemes the Spirit, he has no hope. Simple. It's all in the Spirit. No mysteries in the Bible. Once you get your thinking clear. And down came the Blessed Spirit of God. And Jesus baptized them with his baptism in the Spirit. Marvelous, isn't it? that's that something extra that the question was posed about. Amen. That's the something extra. When a man has gone there, and Jesus said to these people, he said, you shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Hallelujah. It's the baptism of I am. It was the baptism of the eternal God. You shall be baptized with the baptism that I am. Baptized with. Hallelujah. And you've got to be baptized with the baptism that I am. Or he is. That's why he said, when he commissioned people to go forth and baptize people in water, he said, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and lo, I am with you. I am. I am is Father, Son, and Holy God. And you have to be baptized with the baptism of I am, or into God, via the cross, via the death, via the resurrection. It's all here in the Spirit. And you're in the communion that I've been talking about. Doesn't it all make sense? That's why God put them both together. These are the two ordinations. Baptism, the communion. Hallelujah. I marvel at God. When I think of these things, my knees want to sink under me and just worship and adore. This is the baptism. You shall be baptized not many days hence. A glance in Mark 10. God, raise up a people holy and free, with a knowledge of truth, so that they cannot be palmed off with other things. God, raise up a people that see and understand, so that truth becomes the fiber of their being, that in the end they could say, I am the truth. What's happened to me that has made me what I am is the truth. That's what we need. And in Mark chapter 10, where you remember we looked a moment or two earlier, look at verse 25. You know the background. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. To them Jesus said the most astonishing thing. And listen, they were the elect apostles, as yet unborn of the Spirit. They were following him, but as yet they'd never received the Spirit. So they never understood. He astonished them out of measure when he said that. Who then can be saved, they said. And Jesus looked upon them. And having looked upon them, he said. May I colloquialize it? I don't want to add to scripture so that you always read it when you read this verse. When I look at you, I know that it's impossible. It's impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. You, friend, can go through the eye of a needle. With God. And so, all sorts of things happen. But in verse 31, you'll have to read this chapter right through, won't you? Sometime. Many that are first shall be last. The last first. He was always talking like this. He used to say, he that's least among you shall be the greatest. He always said things that were completely opposite to men's thinking. See, it all arose in their thinking because this great man, great riches, great this, great that, you see? And he said, no, the rich will find it ever so hard to get into the kingdom. Do you see? But beware of thinking that because in your mind, being a renegade and a nihilist, a rock-bottom socialist, and a budding young red, and if you've banished all these rich people, you beware. For outward things are only a picture of the inward. You can be very rich in your spirit. Rich in your own ideas, revolutionary, educationally, I don't know what, absolutely stored yourself up with riches which show your bankruptcy. You're propping yourself up with shadows. It's still hard for you. Hard for you. See? You know, I suppose, the sort of thing that's said about this camel and the eye of the needle. I was brought up on it from infancy. I was brought up in these areas. That it's the little gate beside the great city gates that used to be shut at night to keep out wild animals, lepers, and marauding bands. Very sensible. And if a camel train arrived after sundown, they wouldn't open the main gates, lest it should be a company of hijackers coming in. So they opened the little gate at the side that was really only meant to take foot passengers, or screen everybody, you see, so that they had to come through one at a time. And if they wanted to get their camels through, they had to kneel down, and then they'd unload all the stuff that was on the camel's back. And then they'd have to take off his harness, and they'd have to make him go through on his knees, drag him through on his knees. And you listen, some of us are like camels. We've got a great big hump on our backs. We've got stores against everything, stored up hatred, stored up bitterness, the things we feed our souls on, stored up resentments, stored up things. We've got them there. That's what a camel does. Jesus never chose his illustrations from nature, except that they perfectly fitted in as far as an earthly thing can, to explain something of the spiritual. Every animal, listen, everything of God's creation has behind it a lesson to teach you. And if they're in the hands of a teacher from heaven, thou teach you so much. But you see, with the camel, oh, some of us like these camels. Kneel down, we take this off, you say, oh Lord, forgive me for this, it's been such a great burden in my life. And Jesus forgives, takes off that, you see. I say, Lord, forgive me for this, and we start getting unloaded, all these things we've been carrying, this sin, adultery, fornication, stealing, deceiving, lying, breaking God's commandments, and so on and so on. So we get them all unloaded off us. So now that's fine. But listen, the camel's still got to go through the eye of the needle. Lots of people like that. They've had some unloadings, but they haven't gone through the eye of the needle yet. That's it. How hardly. They were astonished. How to measure. And yet they needn't have been. Their daily life shouted out to them, if only they had eyes to see. Everybody here is without excuse. None of us has one excuse that they can offer to God. None. It's been shouting out at you. But you've got your eyes on cinema screens or television screens or bingo cards or coupons to fill in or girls to run about after or boys to chase. We've got our eyes on all these things. And we didn't see. We can't see a camel, it's too big. We can't see that. We're educated, complicated, eaten away by our own lusts, feeding on our own deceptions, knowing all the time it's a lot of nonsense. But nevertheless, we do it, because camels are renowned for their stubbornness. I know, I've tried to photograph them out in the East. They always turn the wrong way just at the moment you want to click the shutter. Instead of clicking the camel, you get the camel chap standing beside him. You can see the difference. The first shall be last, he said. And the last first. And listen, verse 32. They're in the way. They're going up to Jerusalem. They're in the way. So Jesus says, well now, they're in the way. I'll be able to tell them. Listen, Jesus went before them. I'll lead the way. And they were amazed as they followed. And they were afraid. They went from astonishment to amazement to fear. Because he talked about a camel going through the eye of the needle. That's it. What's going to happen to us? What's happening? John and James come to him and say, oh Lord, when you're in your kingdom... Oh, but wait a minute. Let's read it. In the Bible, a lovely book, it's self-explanatory. When read properly. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. Now notice the awful perfection of things that lay ahead. Seven things. Here they are. They shall condemn him to death. One, they shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Two, they shall mock him. Three, they shall scourge him. Four, they shall spit upon him. Five, they shall kill him. Six, and the third day he'll rise again. Perfection. Lovely. Amen. Amen. You can't defeat God. You can't do anything to outwit his plans. You can't. The six things of man's horror and the seventh thing of God's perfection. On the seventh day, he rose again. Alleluia. James and John, here they come. John had got a little inkling. He used to live closer to Jesus than most. I think he used to put his head on his breast, and he loved him. And they're in. Lord, with you in your kingdom, let James and I sit one on one hand, one on the left. You see? Praise God. He says, you don't know what you're asking. Are you ready to go through the eye of the needle? You got to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. That's the condition. It's no good saying, well, I'm down on my knees. Lord, take off this burden of sin and a guilty conscience and take off this and that. The camel keepers unload them. They unload them. But you still got to go through that postern gate. You can be unloaded and still be outside. The purpose of the unloading is to go through. You've got to go through. How many of us have got to go through spirit? We run up against our husband, or we run up against our wife, or we run up against our home conditions. We run up against it, oh, can't. The main doors, oh, if only the main doors were open, I could see an opening as big. No, says Jesus, here, come on. See this little opening here? Come on. Get down on your knees and I'll get you through. Stop the nonsense. He won't open anything more than an eye of a needle for you. You've got to go through the cross, the death, the resurrection. 'Tis a fiat from the throne. No man can wave it. Hallelujah. And once you're in, stop in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Aren't you pleased that in New Jerusalem, that's the true matter of us all, the gates are never shut by night, at all by day, I'm sorry. So there's no night there. And once you go through, in your dark night, go through the little gate, you move into New Jerusalem and the gates are open all the time. Once you're in, you can go in and out and find pasture. And here then is the wonder of it all. You cannot do anything else than this. People keep bypassing the gate. They don't see it in their dark night. They're amazed. They're afraid. Nothing to be afraid about. Nothing to be afraid about. Hallelujah. If you stay out where you are, you'll continue in fear. That's where the lepers are. That's where the wild beasts are. That's where the marauding bands are, outside. That's why they shut the main gates. Simple, isn't it? Isn't Jesus lovely? In the way he simplifies it. Now you all understand, don't you? Anybody here hasn't understood? He If you don't understand, if you claim even now you can't understand, stand up. And we'll go through it much more simply yet, if necessary. But I think I've been simple enough for a primary class to understand.
Yeah.
You just won't go through it. You're making an excuse of some sort. I don't know what it is. But I know it's wrong, and it's now become sin in you. You've become stubborn. You've got to go through. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that that's the entrance into the entire realm of the Spirit. It's so glorious. Once you've gone through that gate, blessed be the name of the Lord, I reckon if they held a mirror up to you inside, you'd find you'd turn from a camel into a lamb. A decided improvement.
Glory.
And this is what God wants. See, I told you I picked up this book that was given to me. Would I read it? And the aggressive spirit came through on the first page. I knew he wasn't a lamb that had written that. And this is the great truth. We move into this marvelous realm of life. Glory. You see, but you see, that's me. I am a camel. I can't change myself. A leopard, you say, can't change spots. And you've got a Bible text to support you. But you see, you're not asked to change yourself. He does it. He's the baptizer.
Amen.
So now your excuse has gone again. Bible's a wonderful book. Jesus, its author, more wonderful than the book he had written. And the Lord comes, and he gets right hold of us. And I'm talking to you, man, if you've got an ear to hear. And you, woman, I'm talking directly into your heart. I don't care if all the others aren't here, I'm talking to you. You've got to come this way. Hallelujah. There's one thing you cannot do with God, and that's make conditions. You must come to terms. His terms. You don't sit around a negotiating table. You accept what he says. He'll never change, lest he should be charged with favoritism. He has made the way, and everybody is called to go this way. And when you say, Lord, then I come, I'm going. That's it. All that great, tearing, strong spirit inside you gets dealt with. All this aggressive, dear, got to fight for your existence in this world. If I don't hit him, he'll hit me. See? Hello, go. Praise God. You say, well, what now? Oh, utterly dependent on God. That's fine. Are you ready for it? Yes, Lord. That's what I want. You shall be baptized. Absolutely baptized. Don't start thinking of this and that and the other. Or perhaps you'd better, I mean, don't start thinking of it as something you're going to cling to. Think of it and say, yes, Lord, that's all going. Yes, Lord, it's all going. His heart cries out saying, oh God, break this band that binds me to this thing. Break the chain, Lord, that binds me. I don't know, there's something in me. I have to do it. That's the cry of a drug addict. And there are addictions and drugs of the mind, not just drugs of the body. You have to read certain books. You have to use certain language, as well as smoke certain cigarettes, or take certain this, that, or the other. God wants to have you free, utterly free. He wants you to be free in His hands. And then see what He can make of your life. Let it all go. Everything. Are you ready? Amen. All the power of that death, that unique death, is in the Blessed Spirit now. For you, you can pass into it. But the inner secrets of the life of God are beyond the eye of the needle. Amen. I think that by the grace of God I've been able to answer the question. I want what's more. This is the way it was phrased to me, than the baptism and the Spirit that you've got and I haven't got. Well, that's where it lies. It's an open secret. It's splashed across the pages of the book. Amen. Perhaps if it was written in blood, we'd take more notice of it. All right, now we're going to move in the presence of God. And God will do it. Amen.